Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience as well as those tuning in online. Leonardo Wild is making his first appearance on our program today. In fact, he's joining us live today from Ecuador to talk to us not only about his literary journey, but what it's been like for him to share that journey with readers literally around the world. His newest book is one that I had a chance to read. We're going to talk to him about the elements of that story, as well as, of course, how you all can stay connected with him, as well as be able to read his books for yourself. Leonardo, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Cyrus. Hello, and greetings to everybody listening in.
Well, look, first of all, I want to say I'm glad that all is well with you there in Ecuador. I know you had sent me a message about a day or so ago, you know, letting me know that you were okay. I think that the great thing about your journey, Leonardo, that I thought about when I was getting ready for your segment is that you are where you are, and you have been able to write a story that has really been able to get readers around the world. I mean, what has that experience been like for you to live with these characters and then to be able to share them with all of us?
Well, as you know, writing is one of those lonely endeavors that we try to make up for with our characters in a way. Not to say that I'm lonely. I mean, I got a family, wife, two children, and many, many friends. But when you are writing and you have traveled a lot like I did, you want to share those things with readers, you know. And, I mean, all the locations I mentioned, I have been there. So it's really part of the enjoyment to be able to describe stuff that you have seen and make other people feel that. I feel that books are like windows or doors to other worlds that people cannot visit usually, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think that is the amazing thing, and I think that is what people are able to take away from books, especially. I think also, Leonardo, the great thing is you're able to bring us into a world that may seem like geographically it's so different from ours, but then when we get to see the people, get to see the personalities and also what they're going through, we're able to feel that connection. Has that been one of the great things that you've heard from readers about how they feel as though they know these characters and can relate to them?
Yeah, one of the things that when I was writing science fiction some years back, some people complained it seemed too real. And that is exactly what I'm trying to do. When you read it, this could have happened or it may have happened, you know. So for me, part of the job that I do as a writer is to bring people into the world, into those characters in a way that they don't think I'm reading something, rather than I'm experiencing it.
Right. I think that is the amazing thing for sure. You also, you mentioned science fiction, Leonardo. The great thing about you is that, you know, just like other authors I've spoken to on this program, or even recording artists as well, you've been very careful not to paint yourself in a box. I mean, other people may, you know, be able to identify you in a certain way or look for you in a certain genre. How important has that been for you, though, to be able to just write the stories that you want to write and not worry so much about how they're categorized?
Well, I think in that sense, when I started writing, I basically decided to try out different genres to see which ones I felt more comfortable with. Also, each genre gives you a particular set of tools to write about certain subjects. For example, science fiction gives you a view of the technologies and sciences that can come, and you have to be able to describe those in a way that sound real. Murder mysteries give you a sense of the psychology of people. And I thought, just like learning how to type, FFFJJJ and so forth, if I go over different genres, I will be able to write in a better way, because it's like being more precise about a particular type of subject you want to cover right now. I also saw that as a writer, I was publishing with some of the big publishers in Germany, C. Bertelsmann, who are basically Random House, and Bels and Gelbrich and others, that unless you are within a genre or you're writing in a particular genre, it's going to be really hard to make a living as a writer, because in the marketplace, you have to have your followers. That was the problem for me. I wanted to write different things, research different things. I am somebody who's very curious and likes to explore. And I realized that some of my favorite writers, after 4 or 5 books, ended up being stuck. And then I couldn't enjoy their books anymore because they're writing the same old thing, in a way.
Yes.
Well written, but it was the same story. And I said, I don't want to have that happen to me if one day I happen to become successful. So I decided to look into the whole genre issue and try to, what I did is try to create a subgenre within the thriller genre that will allow me to, or actually force me to write a different book every time. And that's what I'm calling now the paradigm shift thrillers.
Right, right. You know, and I think that is the great thing. I want to talk to you about courage, Leonardo, because it takes courage to be able to try something new and to not go along, you know, with the norm of the establishment. We're going to talk about that. I want to first say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Leonardo Wild is joining us live today from Ecuador to talk to us not only about his literary journey, but what it's been like for him to share his books literally with the world. I want to tell you all a little bit later how you can stay connected with him. Leonardo, you, like the rest of us these days, you're on social media as well. In fact, you and I have been able to stay connected through, especially through Twitter. I mean, what has that been like for you to, in real time, be able to not only to communicate with your readers, but also to introduce yourself to new readers as well?
Well, Twitter is something I decided to try out only about a couple of months ago because social media. Unless you are there, you don't exist. I was making a joke yesterday with my family that it's not I think, therefore I am, but I tweet, therefore I am. Kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, you know?
Right.
Which I find rather strange, especially living here in Ecuador, where social relations and closer relationships with people that you meet face-to-face are so much more real and important than this other virtual connection that when you have 10,000 people that are connected to you in some way, you don't really know them, and yet people feel it's like a surrogate for having friendships. And I feel that's a sad thing about our state of affairs. On the other hand, how will you be known as a writer? And I've been trying to figure that one out. I mean, I still don't have it quite clear. How can you be noticed in Twitter when, if you have 10,000 friends and they tweet 5 times a day, let's say minimum, you have 50,000 tweets coming to your account. How do you do that? I mean, I still don't know. But Facebook helps a bit more, I think, to be more, how can I say it, closer in a different way, because you don't have so many people and some of them actually react in more than 140 characters at a time, you know, or less.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it is one of those things that we are all trying to figure out the best way to be able to use these great tools that are at our disposal. For sure, Leonardo, and I know that others can relate to that predicament as well. So take us into the new book. I mentioned, to you that, the thing that struck me about it was that you have all of these elements, again, that people around the world can relate to. The family element, the element of feeling as though you have something to prove, but also, of course, what we all do when things seem to not go our way and when we have choices to make and having to live with the consequences of our actions. How did the newest book come about?
Well, for me, each book is a big journey of discovery. I think I could say that I write to understand. If I don't know something, if I'm curious about it, I'm interested enough and feel it's an important subject, I'll probably write a book about it just so I can understand. And when I understand, then I can share with other people what I've discovered, which I think it's really one of the novelist jobs. I mean, novel means new, and this is what I find, that many people bring stories that others have done already, just a new twist, new people. But I feel that when you bring in locations, bring in characters, that's where you find the differences in a story. The whole aspect that you mentioned about you make plans in your life, and there's a joke about making plans,
Right.
Where you are making a plan, and that's what life happens while you're busy making plans, you know. If for me, it was a discovery when I went sailing that suddenly we're dependent on the wind. I mean, something as invisible as the wind can change the course of your journey. And it was quite frustrating for a while for me to say, let's go to Tahiti, and then the wind changed. Oh, no, let's better go to Hawaii. Wait a minute, you know. And the sense that when you make plans and then life puts something in your way, I learned that when you see that those things that are put in your way are probably the best thing for you rather than an obstacle, they're a chance for you to find something new and embrace it like that. And in today's society, there's a whole thing of planning out your life while you're still in kindergarten almost, you know, or when you're in university, you want to plan out, and that doesn't work like that. Life is an
right.
open system where things happen, and if you know how to adjust to that, you will probably enjoy it. If not, you're going to have a hard time.
Right. I think that is so true. So were the characters for the newest book, were they easy for you to develop in that it's something, again, that is relatable, and especially the father-son relationship? I love the fact that you're able to showcase that in its different ways. Was that something that was easy for you to manifest?
Not really. Part of the difficulty probably is that I started that novel in 2004, and then
oh,
I
wow.
stopped it. I realized that I was missing some elements, so I decided to put it on the back burner. And then when I, as I'm writing a whole series, I thought of developing the character slower, let's say, and to show that their side that people think, what people see in this case of Max Villalobos. And some agents read it and others, and they said, no, the character isn't likable in that sense. And I said, but he's a nice guy. I knew that, but it wasn't clear in the first 25 pages, let's say, you know. So it was hard for me to bring the character and get to know my own character. But once that happened, once I knew who my character was and how to present it and when, because in writing it's about timing. You have to give your readers some likable traits, otherwise they will not care for your character. And that was the hard part for me in this particular novel. In the new one, I already know, the one I'm trying to finish this coming week, I already know who he is, so that's really much more easier. I think starting a series, especially with a character, is going to be quite complex and changing in every book, which is what I have set up myself to do. Just like we in life end up with different jobs and we change because of that, it's going to happen
right.
to Max as well. You know, so it wasn't easy, but now it's getting easier, thank God.
Yeah. Did you find that part of the fun of writing this book in particular, Leonardo, was that the son was able to discover that he was stronger, that he could become stronger, just by because of what he was going through and because of the dynamics with his father?
Yeah. For me, Max Villalobos has become quite a strange personality in the sense that because I set out myself to write what I mentioned, the paradigm shift thrillers, where I'm going to be addressing different topics about our society, the pillars, in this case, politics. What is the profile of people in positions of power? And Max is going to face that reality. In the one I'm working on right now, it's a different massive subject like banking. I'm going to have another one which is going to be about money. All subjects I've researched for over 10, 15 years, so I know them quite well, to being
right.
able to bring him out in a plot, you know. In this case, Max Villalobos is the son of a billionaire, but he doesn't feel like one. He's an iconoclast. He is sort of a very intelligent or almost a genius. However, he has his faults because his father happens to be a corporate psychopath. You can't be all okay if your father is like that, you know?
Right.
And so basically I'm trying to create a character who seems not only real, and even though he's up there with the richest people in the world, he doesn't behave like that because he isn't really. What is wealth, you know? We think we know somebody by their amount of money they have, and that I would call that economic discrimination. All can go both ways, you know. I've met really, really rich people and really, really poor people, and that's the thing what you mentioned before. They're all people, and we
right.
tend to forget about that. You know, we tend to
right.
create a cliche about either one of those personalities, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny to hear you say that this is a story that now we're reading here in 2016 that you began over a decade ago, Leonardo, I think says so much. What made you not be able to let it go, though? Because there are some people that would have said, you know what, this whole thing is just not going to work. Let me just go to something else. What made you not be able to let these characters go?
How can I put it? I think some stories take a long time to become good wine, as it were, you know. They have to be there. It's not that I couldn't let it go. It was that it shouldn't have been let go. I was missing one main aspect, which was how to understand the plot that I was trying to cook up, a plot which basically was almost real in 2003 from people I heard of trying to pass the Galapagos Islands under the table to the U.S. by crooked politicians who were trying to make a, you know, I don't know, a business out of it. And the aspect of corporate psychopathy, which is really at the core of this novel, was that missing element that suddenly when I had it, I said, aha, this is really the core of it all, and this will keep the whole story together, even though the plot is a complex plot. But there is always, you have to find what is the key dramatic conflict in each story that will bring the whole story to a satisfying end, you know? And
right.
An end that people don't expect. But once they see it, they say, oh, yeah, of course, you know? And this is what the difficulty was with this particular novel, was finding what is my core conflict. Because I feel that writing is not just about having a story that can be very entertaining, but once you finish it, you ask yourself, so what, you know? I want to write stories that are the opposite, that when you finish, you say, holy cow, this is really important, you know?
Right. Right. I think that is the amazing thing. I mentioned earlier about courage, Leonardo. I want to go back to that because I think for anyone to tell a story, you know, you have to believe in it. You have to be willing to go all out for it. Is that just something that as a storyteller you have developed, or is it something that you've always had, the belief that you had something that was worth sharing?
No, I don't think those things you always have. I don't think you're born with courage, more with desperation, in a way. And courage comes from life experiences, from realizing that you can be in the worst situations possible, and then you still survive. I heard an old friend of mine who passed away quite a few years ago say that an elder person he talked said, of all the things I learned in my life, the most important was to know that of all the bad things that happened to me, the worst never occurred. And I think courage is really realizing that you can embrace life in spite of the difficult situations that you're living through. And this is what, in this case, my character is going through, you know. He wants to be free, he wants to go, and ends up in a very, very difficult situation that he somehow has to overcome. In my particular life, I mean, I read a lot when I was a child, and I loved to go on adventures that I couldn't, and that's one of the reasons why I started writing, because I wanted to go on adventures, and because, I mean, 12, 13, 14-year-old can't go on an adventure, I started writing about the adventure I would like to have, and then it happened that in my life, later on, I started traveling, and the whole tortilla flipped, as you would say. I started writing about the adventures I had in a fictional way, in a fictitious way, but the elements, the key conflicts or basically certain events actually really happened. You know, I have gone through a hurricane in 89, I've sailed, I've been a diver, and all those things just go into my books, and when you do that, you can share something you know, which is your life, but the understanding of how it works and why it's like that is what I try to explore with my writing.
Right. And you definitely have done a great job with that, Leonardo. And now, of course, readers, like I said, around the world can enjoy it. Again, everyone, Leonardo Wilde has been our guest. I want you guys to make sure that you're staying connected with him. He's on social media, as he mentions. He's on Twitter, navigating with us there, at DL Wilde Wild is where you all can find him there. Again, it's DL Wilde Wild. And then, of course, as he said, he's on Facebook as well, joining us live today from Ecuador. You know, Leonardo, you also have a website. Why don't you give that out for our audience?
Okay, the website is www.leonardowild.com. Wild as in savage.
No. And you all can find out more information about the new book, as well as, of course, be able to actually get it from his website as well. You all can take advantage of that opportunity or head over to Amazon.com as well. Leonardo, thank you so much for joining us today from Ecuador. Really appreciate it, and I hope you'll come back on the program again.
Well, thank you, Cyrus, again. And yes, I mean, I hope to be on your program again one day soon, and we can talk about other stuff because there is more where this came from.
All right. We definitely look forward to that for sure. And we thank your audience for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For our radio audience, stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you. For those joining us online, though, we're going to lose you. So if you came in late, you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.